Hod's Torches. Long, long ago, when the Elder Gods were still very young, in the misty beginnings of time, just after the world had emerged from the ice, been born of the ice and the dark, it was cold and barren, save in one place, far to the north, where a riven mountain poured forth molten rock, liquid, glowing, boiling rock that ran in rivers and was all heat and steam. Here there was too much heat for anything to live, and everywhere else was too cold, too ice-covered, and nothing could grow there, nothing at all. But there was a place, just past the lands of the Riven Mountain, before the ice began, and here it was not too hot to live, nor too cold, and here was the ground bare, and neither scorched nor frozen. So here it was there fell from the sky, took root and grew, the seed that became the world tree, Yggdrasil. And when it was grown, time began. And after time began, there were born into the world, in some fashion, perhaps from that very tree, the gods, and all the other races of the earth, the elves, the giants, the dwarves, and mankind, who was timid in that company. They came forth in that one place where it was possible to live, but there was too little to live on. It was always dark, and everywhere there was too much heat or cold, and it seemed all would perish. A way was needed to end the dark and cold, but in those days, even the gods were few. There was Odin, and there was Tyr, and Loki, and Hod, and Frigg, and that was all. So they huddled together at the roots of Yggdrasil, and wondered what to do. It came to them that the burning rock from the Riven Mountain might contain an answer, that there was magic in it somehow, if they could but know what it was, and if they could obtain some, they might learn. So Hod, who was then the boldest, said he would find a way to fetch some and see what could be done with it. He searched for a way to do this for some time, for searching was not easy in a world lit only by the glow from the Riven Mountain, and it far away. But at last he found a rock, as hollow as a bowl. So he took the rock and went into the lands of fire and steam. A hard journey it was, Hod suffering much from thirst. There was no water in that burning land, only smoke and heat and fear. Hod's feet and hands were burned, his hair was singed, and he was in great pain. But he found a small stream of molten rock, and managed to catch a little of it in his rock bowl, for it had cooled some there, far from the Riven Mountain, and was a golden heat instead of nearly white. Hod hurried back to the others before the rock could grow entirely cold. The contents of the bowl still glowed red when Hod rejoined the other four gods. They were sitting close by the world tree near a pool of water, the only water in the world that was not ice, the place where plants grew, feeble in the dark, but still growing. So Hod rushed up to them, but in his tiredness and with the burns on his hands and feet, he was clumsy. He spilled some of the glowing rock. It splashed on the plants and on some small branches shed during the long, timeless growth of Yggdrasil. Flames sprouted from the wood and the plants at once and were bright and yellow in the darkness. "Here, indeed, is a magic," said Odin. "We must keep this. It is light and heat that can be borne. It will be of use to us." So they gathered a pile of the fallen branches from Yggdrasil and some plants that were dead. They lit the pile with the molten rock Hod had brought them, and it was a fire. Loki had told them how to pile the wood and that grasses and plants could be burned in it, but stones could not. And when they asked him how he knew this, he told them that he did not know how he knew, but he did know. So the job of tending the fire was given to Loki. Thus Loki tended the fire, and he grew to understand it and all its magic on the earth. He made many experiments with it, and he found what would burn and what would not. He discovered the torch, so he could sometimes leave Hod with the fire and go out into the darkness to see what was there. In this way he learned much about the world as it was. Now, since only the gods had fire, the other folk would sometimes come and look at it. The giants and the dwarves and the elves all wanted some for themselves, and they asked for some, but Odin said no, it was a powerful magic and the gods would keep it. Men wanted some too, but they were frightened and shy of the gods and only crept up to look like frightened children, and then ran away. So the gods had the fire to themselves for this time. But there was nothing but the small space between the terrible heat and the terrible cold, and all was still dark. Loki told them that the fire would melt ice, and it was so, but there was not fire enough to melt all the frozen world free. So the gods wondered what to do, and Hod, who had gone forth before, said that he would go forth again and see what ideas he could find. But the dwarves and elves and giants were angry because of the fire and would not talk to Hod. The men ran away and hid. So Hod went to Loki, and they talked about it. Loki knew in his heart that if there was an answer, it must be found very soon. So he left Hod to tend the fire, and he took a burning brand as a torch, and he went to the dwarves. Loki can win anyone to talk with him. It is his nature. And so he talked with the king of the dwarves. Dwarves must have a king, for they cannot exist without order to their lives. They are industrious and cannot abide chaos. The dwarf king offered to help Loki in his search, but he must have some of the fire to do so. Loki agreed. He left the torch with the dwarf king and returned to Hod. The other gods were angry with Loki for giving away the fire, but he did not care. Loki told them that the dwarves had said that the Norns knew the answer, and it was from them that Hod could learn it. Even the gods stand in awe of the Norns, for not even they know the Norns' true nature, or their beginning or end. Still, Hod said he would do what must be done, and he went to the very foot of the great world tree, and there were the three Norns, always in shadow, even though Hod had a torch. They seemed to be shapeshifters, for never could he tell exactly what they looked like, although they seemed always to be women. They spoke no word to him until he asked them how to free the world from the dark. Then the middle one spoke and said, "What care you?" "All will die if this continues," Hod said. "Even the fire which we have found will not sustain us." "There is a price for all things. No thing comes without being paid for. All knowledge is dearly bought. The price of light is darkness," said the first one. "I will pay what I must," Hod cried. "Tell me what to do." "Climb the tree, if you can," said the third one. "Take torches and light what you find at the very top." Then they fell silent, and not another word could be drawn from them. So Hod went to Loki, who helped him make many torches, for no one could reckon the height of the world tree or how long the climb must be. And Loki went with Hod to the tree. Hod held the first lit torch in his teeth, and he began to climb while Loki waited below. Hod climbed and climbed, and at length the torch he had clenched in his teeth had burned too close to his face, so he sat on a branch and pulled another torch from the bundle that Loki had strapped to his back. He lit it. He threw the old torch away and began to climb again. The old torch fell like a streak of light until it burned out. Hod climbed and climbed, and again he must needs replenish his torch, and another torch fell and flamed, and Hod climbed on. Long was that climb, and dozens of torches had burned down and been cast away before all was done, and the branch that Hod clung to was no thicker than his wrist, and the treetop swayed beneath his weight. His upreaching arm found nothing to cling to, only something above him that he could feel but could not grasp, something with a smooth surface that seemed not to be a part of the tree at all. Hod dared to look up with the torch in his teeth, and he could see something hanging above him in the torchlight. Something, but it was so big he could not tell its shape nor anything about it. He knew that this was what he had come for, and suddenly he was afraid, and he thought to go back down and be safe. But Hod had come too far to turn back with his work undone, and he took the torch and thrust it upward into the unknown thing. And then there was a blaze of light and fire beyond his power to have imagined or to fear. He cried out in his anguish and fell headlong through the branches for a long time, beyond all knowing, until some branch caught and held his senseless body fast. And light blazed out into the sky, and the sun, reborn, burned herself free from the tip of the world tree and began to move her course across the sky. And thus there was day. And the sun warmed the earth below, and the ice began to melt and run, and in time it became lakes and rivers and fjords and oceans, and the bones of the earth, the mountains, could be seen. The life beneath the earth began to stir with the warmth, and soon began to grow, blossoming forth in time into green plant and flower in the first of all springs to come. But that would take time, and in this first day the sun took her appointed course, and in the proper time should slip away for the night to come. But the unrelieved dark had laid on the world so long that no one could have borne to see it return so soon. So the sun gave birth to the moon to reign over the night, that he be the promise of her return. And soon the sky was bright with stars, the children of the sun and moon. And when the sun came again, all the world dwellers knew it would continue, and they rejoiced. Now when the light had first blazed out, Loki, like everyone else, was frightened and hid his eyes and crouched back against the tree. But soon, blinking his eyes like a new kitten, he was looking at the world with awe and wonder and marveling at the great orb of fire now moving across the sky. Then he remembered Hod, and, uncertain of why he did so, began to climb the great tree. Loki climbed a long time, and at last he found Hod's senseless body, battered and torn by the fall, caught in the branches. With great tenderness, Loki moved Hod and managed somehow to bear him to the ground over his shoulders. Hod lay like one dead for many of the passages we now call days before he ever stirred. The gods all tended him with care and bathed his wounds with cool waters and watched over him at all times, for they feared he would die and never see the great wonder he had wrought, which was daily changing the world and making it a green and beautiful place. Gods do not die easily, and Hod did not die. And one day, when the sun had come again many times, he stirred and called Loki's name. Loki came to him and took his reaching hand and spoke gently to him. Hod had opened his eyes, and above him there was a sky of glorious blue, fleeced here and there with the white clouds and glowing golden ball of the new risen sun, painting the horizons with colors there are no names for. And Hod said, "It is still dark. I failed after all. But it is so warm, we must be very near the fire. Loki? Loki, why can't I see you?" Loki clasped Hod in his arms, and tears welled up and overflowed from his eyes, and he could not speak. And all the other gods wept as well. They wept for Hod's loss, for he would never see the beauty he had made. The blaze of light, as the sun was kindled, had taken his sight, and his blue eyes, ever afterward, were sightless, and his face had the look of a puzzled child. And until Hod was strong again, all the other gods cared for him as if he were a child, Loki most of all. But still Loki tended the fire, for it was useful in the night. And it was in this time that the giants stole some of the fire for themselves and went away. Odin gave some to the elves, for they are kin to the gods, and he wished to make an alliance with them. And Loki gave some to the men, for he alone could go among them without them running away, for he had a fondness for mankind and wished for them to prosper. When Hod was well at last, if blind, and on his feet, the gods realized that they were all alone in the lands that surrounded the World Tree. The men and the elves had crossed the ice in the first days and come down to Midgard, what we call the world. The giants had found a land beyond the Riven Mountain that still had ice, and it suited them. The dwarves had taken the fire that Loki had given them and gone beneath the earth, for they found that they disliked the sun. The elves had found the growing forest, seeded from the World Tree, and with their magic had made their own land in the midst of them. And in that time men were few and lived near the sea. So the gods were left to themselves, and they made their land to suit them. They built Asgard, and in time Asgard was full of wonders, and many fine halls were built. But the first hall that the gods ever raised was the hall for Hod. It was a fine hall, and each thing in it had a special place and was always set there, so Hod in his own hall could move with the ease of one who sees. And Hod never goes forth alone, but always another god goes with him. For Hod's ease, Odin took his spear and Tyr his sword, and they went to the world ash, Yggdrasil, and cut a staff from the living tree for Hod. And from that cut sprang a magic stream, which became the well of knowledge. And ere the cut was healed, Mimir passed through it like a wraith, and took substance, and became the guardian of the well. Hod's staff blossomed forth with a burst of green leaves at the tip when it was placed in his hand, and it is ever a living thing to honor the bringer of the light. And Loki spends time taking Hod to the woods and meadows that he might learn what he made by feel and scent and by what Loki tells him. And he is content. So this is the story of the beginning of the world and of fire and of the sun, and it is the reason why the streaks of falling stars in the sky are called Hod's torches by men, to honor Hod, who gave his eyes to relieve the darkness of the world.